Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. Last 2 weeks I've been talking about living a life of faith. You know, in the challenges we live in today, we need to be people of great faith, because where there are great challenges, great faith is needed. We can't just yield to everything that the enemy is bringing against us. We have to stand up in faith. Hebrews 11:5 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So our response in faith is that we need to diligently seek God, and we need to hear from God and walk in faith in what God tells us to do. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith is expecting something from God. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's expecting God to do something in our life. So we need to pray in faith, and we need to act in faith. James says, "Faith without works is dead." So we have to listen to God. We have to do what God tells us to do, and we have to expect something from God. I mean, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How does faith come? How do you receive faith? By hearing. Hearing who? Hearing God. Not hearing people, not hearing the news, but hearing God. And so the thing we need to do is hear God. Faith comes by hearing God. And we learn to hear God through the word of God. So it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your ability to hear God comes by you knowing the word of God. See, the word of God is a revelation of who God is. And so the more you know the word of God, the more you understand God, you know God's will and God's ways. And so then you can ask in faith, because you understand God and you can have an expectancy of what God is going to do. See, our life with God revolves around a relationship with God. And that relationship with God is every day. So every day you spend time in the Word. Every day you spend time praying, seeking God's faith. And then you take time to listen to God. God, what do you want me to do today? If you have a problem, you need to ask God, what do you want me to do as a result of this problem? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must believe that he exists, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But you see, we seek him according to his will. And so we know the will of God by the word of God. Then God speaks to us and gives us a promise. And then faith arises in our heart, an expectation of what God is going to do. Then we begin to pray according to that expectation. And we begin to act in obedience to what God tells us to do. Because if you don't act in obedience to what God tells you to do, then you're not going to receive it. Some people spend lots of time praying to God, but they don't listen to God or obey God. No, faith requires an action. Faith requires you hearing from God and doing what God has told you to do. And so we live in a time of great challenges. We live in a time where we need great faith. If you have great faith in a great God, you will see great results. And so God is calling us to a place of faith. But today I want to talk about trust. Faith and trust. Trust is a little different than faith, and I'll explain that today as we talk about a life of trust in God. And trust comes out of a relationship with God, out of walking with God. You know, you trust someone that you spend time with. So if you have a very good friend or a relative that you know very well, they spend lots of time and you do lots of things together, you trust that person, and that person trusts you. And so a trust in God comes out of a relationship with God. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Trust in the Lord. It begins out, trust in the Lord. Trust means to lean on someone and believe in them. So if you lean on something or you lean on someone, that means you're resting on that person. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, two oxen are yoked together with a yoke. And so Jesus calls to be yoked to him. And if you're yoked to Jesus, Jesus pulls most of the load. But the two oxen need to walk in unity together. So you need to be, if you're yoked with Jesus, you walk in unity with Jesus. You walk together. So he says, when you trust, you lean on or are yoked to Jesus, and you believe in him. You trust in him. So trust means to lean on and believe. It means to commit everything and be confident. So if you trust God, you trust him completely, you give him everything, and then you have confidence that he is going to do what is best for you. See, sometimes we don't know what God is going to do. You know, faith comes by hearing God. So God gives a promise, and we put faith in that promise. But sometimes in life, we don't hear from God. We don't get clear direction from God about something. And we need to just trust in God. And we need to commit whatever the problem is to God, whether it's a problem with one of our children or a financial problem or a health issue. We need to give it totally to God and be confident that he is going to take care of it. And then it also means not having fear or misgivings. That is not having fear or doubting. So if you trust in God, you're not going to walk in fear because you have trust in God. And you're not going to doubt because you have trust in God. So faith is built upon trust. You know, in America, when you build a house, the first thing you do is dig a ditch for the foundation. Then you put some steel rods in that ditch, and you then pour concrete on top of those steel rods. And that's called, in America, that's called a footer. Your foot in your body, and this is called a footer. And then on top of that, you put concrete blocks. And the concrete blocks are called the foundation. And then on top of the concrete blocks, you can build with whatever you want. You can build with wood. You can build with whatever you want to build with. But the most important thing is you pour the footer, which is concrete with steel bars, and then you put the foundation of strong concrete blocks. And our life is built on two essential things. It's built on trust, and I consider trust to be the footer, the concrete that you pour in the bottom of the ditch with steel in it. That is trust. Your life needs to be built on a trust in God, and trust comes through relationship. See, I trust people that I live with and I work with. I don't just trust everybody. I trust certain people, and I trust them with everything. And we need to trust God. But then trust comes after we build a trust through a relationship. Then we have faith. Faith is built on trust in God. Now remember, faith comes by hearing something from God. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and expectancy. Faith comes by hearing. So faith is hearing something. As you trust in God, God speaks to you. It produces faith in you. Then you act on that. So it says, trust in the Lord. Lord means Bwana. Lords mean he's the boss. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. God is the Lord of, he has all power. He has all authority. He has all knowledge and wisdom. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He knows what our future is going to be like. And he is in control. See, trust in God. See, you need to understand how great and powerful your God is. So you put trust in him. How do you find out about how great and powerful your God is? You find out from the Word of God. So trust in the Lord. He needs to be Lord of your life. He needs to be the boss of your life. You trust him and you make him the boss. You see, if you trust God, you'll make him boss and you'll do whatever he says. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. See, you trust with your heart, not with your understanding. Your understanding is what you can know in your mind. See, there's a lot of things about God that we can't understand. Sometimes we don't understand God's ways, why he's doing things. The Bible says that God is much higher than we are. His thoughts are much greater than ours. His ways are much higher than our ways. And so sometimes God does things we don't fully understand, and we need to trust with our heart, even though our mind does not understand. Then verse 6 says, in all your ways and everything you do, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge means to give him recognition, to recognize him. You know, if you recognize someone, let's say you have a visitor comes into your church, and you recognize that visitor. You say, welcome to our church. Or you have a special guest or someone that comes to your church and you recognize that person and you recognize him publicly so everyone knows you recognize that person. So if you have trust in God, you will recognize God. You will acknowledge him. That means you recognize God in everything you do. You recognize God in your business. You recognize Jesus in your home. So when people come into your business, you say, this business belongs to Jesus. This business belongs to God. My Shamba belongs to Jesus. My Shamba belongs to God. What I'm doing today, I'm doing for God. You see, you're recognizing God. In all your ways and everything you do, recognize God or give God credit. And he will direct your path. So we see we need to trust in God with all our hearts. Not with our understanding, with our hearts. We need to acknowledge him and recognize him. And then he will give us direction. But you have to trust him first and make him Lord with your heart. You believe in him and then acknowledge him in everything you do. And then he's going to give you direction. And so sometimes in life, we face challenges that we don't fully understand. And I'll give you a personal example. My wife came as missionaries to Kenya in 1987. And we were in Kenya from 1987 to 1997. And we started a Bible school in Kenya and a Bible school in Uganda. Two of our children were born in Kenya. And the second child that was born in Kenya was born in 1994. And we were doing the work and will of God in Kenya. We were serving God with all our heart. We had left our home in America and left all our friends and family in America to come to Kenya to serve God and encourage the church in Kenya. We were living for God. We had given our whole lives to God. But our second child, who was born in 1994, began to have some seizures. And because of her seizures, we went back to the States to the doctors in the States to get treatment for her seizures. And they were able to treat the seizures, but when she had had the seizures, it caused damage to her brain. So she didn't develop regularly. And so now she is 28 years old, but she cannot think on her own. She can't see clearly. She doesn't know how to speak. And you have to help her with everything. Why? Because the seizures did damage to her brain. And we didn't understand why this happened. We had given everything up to serve God. We had given our lives to God. When she began to have seizures, we prayed. Many other Kenyans prayed. Pastors prayed. Bishops prayed. But she didn't get better. The seizures had caused damage in her brain. We didn't understand why this happened. And so we didn't get a word from God. And we sought God with all our heart. We believed in God. We had faith in God because faith had brought us to Kenya. We had to come to Kenya in faith, everything we did in faith. And so when you get in that place where you don't understand what's happening, you have to trust God even though you don't understand. So we had to trust God, that God knew what he was doing. And because of Nicole's problems, our daughter Nicole's problems, we had to leave Kenya and come back to America. And I love living in Africa. I was born in Africa. I had grown up in Africa, finished my education in the States. I'm an American. My wife and I come to serve God in Kenya. We were going to live our whole life in Africa. But we had to come back to the States. We didn't understand why this happened, but we had to trust God in what was going on. You look at people in the Bible that had to trust God. I talked about Joseph last week. You know, Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. He loved God. He was living a good life. He wasn't living in sin. But he got sold into slavery by his brothers. And then when he gets sold as a slave, he works in a man's house named Potiphar. And he works hard. And because he works hard and is honest and diligent worker, he advances in Potiphar's house till Potiphar makes him in charge of everything in the house. Then Potiphar's wife tries to sleep with Joseph, but Joseph refuses. And so Potiphar's wife lies about Joseph and says Joseph tried to sleep with her. And so Potiphar throws Joseph in prison. Now, Joseph hadn't done anything wrong, but he had to trust God. And he serves God even in prison. And he served so well in prison, even as a prisoner, they put him in charge of the prison. Joseph didn't understand why he was sold in slavery. Joseph had done nothing wrong to be lied and be thrown in prison. But he trusted God through all these things. He didn't complain and gripe and become discouraged and give up. He trusted God. And because of his trust in God, when he didn't understand, God promoted him to be the second most powerful man in Egypt. And you see, we went through a very difficult time with our child. We had to leave Africa, leave Kenya, come back to the States. We went through some very difficult years, struggling financially and other things. And we didn't understand those things, but we continue to serve faithfully. We continue to trust God. We continue to seek his face. We continue to acknowledge him in everything we did. And God directed our paths. And eventually I became the director of a Bible school in America. And then God opened the door for me to start my own mission organization. And now I travel and teach leadership seminars in many countries and do leadership conferences in many countries. And I'm the president of my own mission organization. How did this happen? Because when I had a problem, when things happened and I didn't understand, I could have gotten angry at God. I could have gotten discouraged. I could have left the faith. I could have left the church. But instead, I trusted on the Lord. I leaned on the Lord. I believed in him. I committed everything to him with confidence because I trusted in God. And then I trust him with my heart, and everything I did, I gave him the record. I gave him the credit for it. I acknowledged him, recognized, and God slowly, out of this very big problem, directed my path to where I am today. See, that is trust in God. See, faith, you have a word from God, and because of that word, you pray in faith according to that word. But trust, you don't understand, but you trust in God. Joseph didn't understand, but he trusted in God. Another example I like is in Daniel chapter 3, and that's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were friends of Daniel, and they had been elevated in the government in Babylon. And then the king Nebuchadnezzar, he made a great statue of himself. And he said everyone in the country needed to worship this statue of him. And so he gathered all the leaders together. And he said, when I play music, you need to bow down and worship this statue. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the furnace and burn you up, a big fiery furnace. And so they played the music, and everyone bowed down except for three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood standing. They refused to bow down to this king and his idol. And so the king was furious and angry, and he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him, and he said, why haven't you bowed down to my idol? Why have you bowed down to my statue? Don't you know I can throw you in the fiery furnace? I'm going to give you a second chance. But they said, we don't need a second chance. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, they said, we have no need to answer according to this matter about bowing down to this statue. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Listen to what they said. They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not going to bow to your idol. We are not going to submit to that because we don't serve any other gods. And God can deliver us, and we believe God will. But if God doesn't deliver, now that wasn't doubt. That was trust. See, faith is built on a word of God. Now, if God would have spoken to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, I'm going to deliver you from the fiery furnace, then they could have faith and expectation of the word of God. But you see, God didn't speak to that to them. No, they just trusted in God. They trusted in God so much that they were willing to lay down their life for God. And they stood up and refused to bow. You see, God is looking for a people that trust him, that believe in him, that refuse to bow down to the world, refuse to bow down to the things of the world, refuse to compromise himself. But in trust, they stand in God, even if it costs sacrifice, even if it costs everything. They said, O king, whether God delivers us or not, we are standing in trust in God because we know and we will not worship this golden idol that you have set up. And so they were tossed in the fiery furnace, and they could have died because God had not given any promise to deliver them. They could have died and burned up. But instead, because they trusted God, Jesus came down that furnace and walked with them in that furnace. And the king looked in the furnace and says, didn't I throw three men in there? There's a fourth one, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out of the furnace. And they came out. And nothing was burned on them, not their hair, not their clothes. Only the ropes that they were bound in was burned. Nothing else was burned. And the king said, there is a God in heaven. And he made a law that everyone in the whole kingdom needed to respect the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why did that happen? Because they trusted in the Lord with all their heart. And they did not lean to their own understanding. They did not lean on fear. They leaned on God. Fear was a just bow down. You really don't believe in this idol. You just, in your heart, you really love God, but you just bow down. No. You don't just bow down. That is compromise. A lot of Christians compromise, and we can't compromise ourselves. No, we have to trust in God, even in very difficult times. In these difficult times, we have to have people who trust in God and people who have faith in what God has told them to do. And so God is calling us into this new place of trust. David talks a lot about trust in the Psalms, and we'll look at a couple of those Psalms to understand how we walk in trust. Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 37, 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What do you do? Trust in the Lord and do good. See, even if you're going through problems, even financial problems, whatever problems you're going through, if you trust God, you're going to do good things for other people. And so because as you do good to other people, God will do good to you. As you give to other people, God will give to you. You know, sometimes when people are struggling financially, they try to keep everything for themselves. You know, God can't bless what you give yourself, keep for yourself. God can only bless what you give away. So if you really trust God, you'll do good and help other people, even in the midst of the problems you're in. So trust in the Lord and do good. So if you trust in the Lord, you're going to do good. And then it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight means that you really enjoy God. And so even if you're going through a problem, you can celebrate God. You can rejoice in God. You can be happy and glad even in your problem because you celebrate Jesus. You delight in the Lord. You know, delight is that you're really happy about that. Maybe you can think of a food that you really like. You delight in that food. You know, delight in the Lord. That if you trust Him, you will delight in Him even in the midst of your problems. You will delight in the Lord, and you will do good. Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9 said, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes." Princes are very wealthy, important people. So if you really trust in the Lord, you're not going to put your confidence in people, and not even in important people, not even rich people. I know a lot of people, when they get in problems, they're looking, running around trying to find someone to help them. And there's nothing wrong with asking people to help you, but you need to put your trust in the Lord, not confidence in man, not confidence in important people, not confidence in position. When you trust God, you trust Him solely, you know, and you trust God in the midst of your problems you're going through. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, Psalm 9, 9 and 10, says, "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." So he says there, for those who know your name. You see, when you know someone's name, you really know that person well. See, there's a lot of people you don't know very well. You may meet them and you may call them brother or call them, but you don't really know their name. When you know someone well, you know their name. See, you need to know God. You need to know about Him. He needs to be your friend. You know, Abraham was a friend of God. Moses talked with God as a man talks with his friend. See, Jesus said, "I don't call you servant, but I call you friend because I reveal everything to you." See, you need to be in friend. If you trust God, trust comes out of being a friendship. It says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. It's out of that relationship with God that you put your trust in you. And he goes on to say, "For you, O Lord, will not forsake those who seek you." So you're not seeking other people. You're not seeking other places. You're seeking God because you trust Him more than anything else. So God calls to a life of faith and trust in Him. You know, if you're not born again today, you come into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus died for your sins to take away your sins and to give you a victorious life, to make you a child of God. And that needs to be accepted by faith, that He has promised that. So when you confess your sins, accept Jesus as your Savior, you need to have faith that Jesus has come into your life and that you're a child of God. What does that do? That changes the way you live, because faith changes your action. So you don't live the same way because you're a child of God. And then you learn to trust God as you grow in your relationship with Him. So God in this time is calling us to a life of faith and trust in Him. Lord God, I just pray for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today. I pray, Lord God, that they will have faith in Your Word, what You speak to them, and they will trust in Your character and nature, because You're a trustworthy God. You never change, and You always speak the truth. Lord, I just pray You'll bless every person. Encourage them today by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're encouraged by this word today, I invite your friends to listen to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. You can also go to my Facebook page, The Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark on Facebook. And on YouTube, it's The Voice of Hope Today on YouTube. But my God bless you and keep you this week. And I hope to talk with you next week. God bless. Bye-bye.